Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. I hope you have had an amazing time this past week.
And boy, what a week it was, hey? I was recording some of this show, getting it ready during those really hot days that we had over here in the UK. Many of you will know that it hit 40 degrees for the first time ever in this country. Now, I know some of you in other countries may be thinking, 40 degrees? What's that all about? It's not much, but for us, we're not used to it, and our infrastructure is not used to it either. So we had railways shutting down, we had fires everywhere springing up, and people were pretty worn out by it. I have to say, though, my hat goes off to my patients, because on the Monday, which was the second hottest day, I actually closed one of my clinics because that clinic gets really hot. But on the Tuesday, the other clinic, we decided to keep it open because it's quite a cool building. We haven't got aircon, but it still stays quite cool, usually. And in actual fact, I didn't feel that hot on that day. And every single patient, apart from one teenager first thing in the morning who probably just couldn't get out of bed, but every other patient actually did turn up, including some in their 80s who came in and, you know, weren't fazed by the heat at all. So anyway, we've had some hot weather, and there hopefully will be some more. Maybe not quite as hot as that, but certainly the forecast looks good for the next couple of weeks, which is extremely good for me because I'm going to be on holiday for a while, and we're staying here in the UK for that holiday, so we want some good weather. But there is, in the diabetes.co.uk's news items, which I do look through to try and get things of interest to you, there is an article in there triggered by that hot day saying experts warn people with diabetes of the dangers posed by hot weather. So if you survived the last hot spell, here are some warnings about what hot weather can do to you if you have got diabetes. As you know, diabetes is a condition where the body really can't control the blood sugar levels. And the hot weather can have some quite devastating effects on your control of your sugar levels. So, for example, you could be sitting in the sun for quite a long time, just really relaxing. And because you're not being very active, your blood sugar levels can get higher than usual. On the other hand, if you've got type 1 diabetes or you've got type 2 where you're taking insulin, if you are having to take insulin for your diabetes to treat it, it can be absorbed more quickly from the injection site in warm weather, and that can increase the risk of a hypo. Now, hypoglycemia is particularly dangerous because it means that your blood sugar levels fall too low and then you can go into a coma. The problem with the heat, of course, is that the symptoms of a hypo can be very similar to what you might feel when you're hot, such as tiredness, sweating, and feeling a bit dizzy. So, you know, you might not notice the fact that you're going into a hypo quite as easily. You might put it down to the heat. So that's something to be aware of. So because you could go low or you could actually have high blood sugars, the advice is to test more frequently if you're going to be out in the sun or if it's a really hot day. Just try to test a little bit more regularly and be a bit more vigilant. But it's not just you that the heat might affect. The heat can also affect your glucose monitor, your test strips. Both of those are quite sensitive to it, and particularly to direct sunlight. Try to keep them at an average room temperature if you can, because obviously you don't want those damaged, or they'll be telling you you've got a blood sugar level of X, when in actual fact, in reality, it's Y. And if you're not going to be treating yourself accordingly, then obviously there can be major complications there. Those of you that have travelled to hot countries who've got type 1 diabetes will be used to the need to keeping your insulin cool while you're in those hot countries. And yet, of course, while you're in this country and it suddenly gets hot, you may not really remember that actually that's something to do. It's one of those things that, you know, you pack your cool bag to take on that holiday, but you don't really think about it to take it to work, for example, or to the beach for the day. But it is important to prevent heat damage to your insulin. And that's why they recommend using a little cool bag if you are going to be in a hot climate. By the way, if your insulin takes on a brown sort of coloration to it, that usually means it's been exposed to direct sunlight and you should avoid using that insulin. Get some other. Last thing, of course, is that with hot weather, you might lose some fluid through sweating. It's important to keep hydrated because dehydration can also lead to higher blood glucose levels and hyperglycemia. While we're talking about insulin, another news article was that there's a UK shortage of vital diabetes medication, the Novo Rapid Pens by Novo Nordisk. This is one which my daughter actually uses, and I wasn't aware of this until I read this. It's a fast-acting insulin, helps reduce high blood sugar levels in people with diabetes. And apparently there's a current shortage of the refill cartridges at the moment. So if you are running short yourself, make sure you get that prescription order in good time. Apparently there are some replacements of a different type that can be prescribed. Now the next news item is one which I think is of interest, and there'll probably be many of you who've been diagnosed in the last couple of years with diabetes, and that is that the risk of diabetes increases after contracting COVID-19. Apparently a study has been done of 400,000 COVID patients done by a UK-based research team, and they identify an 81% increase in diabetes diagnosis in the first 4 weeks after contracting COVID-19 in comparison with those who are unaffected. Apparently, also, those infected with COVID were 6 times more at risk of cardiovascular disease than those who didn't have the virus. If you want to read a bit more about that, then do go to diabetes.co.uk's website. There are some other mention of some other studies as well. There's an American study, and that found that actually some of the diabetes cases that may have been attributed to COVID triggering them possibly could have been people who had already got the diabetes beforehand. I don't know all the ins and outs of the UK study, what they checked before, but certainly that makes sense. There's a heck of a lot of people walking around with diabetes anyway who don't know they've got it. Around the world, it's estimated that 50% of people with diabetes don't know they've got it, which is huge because, of course, they're not doing anything about it if they don't know they've got it, and therefore they're damaging the rest of their health as well by living with high blood sugars. But anyway, I guess I'm preaching to the converted because all of you guys listening are pretty much going to be people who are already aware that you have pre-diabetes or diabetes. And I hope that the topic of the show today is going to be able to help you with one of the really important parts of your body that does get affected. And that is, of course, the feet. Many of you will already know that I'm a podiatrist and that my passion really is to try and help you to prevent amputations. That's why I'm doing this show. Yes, to help you with your diabetes, but the ultimate goal for me is, hey, let's keep as many feet where they're meant to be on the end of your legs as possible. And the way we do that is by teaching you about your feet, but also teaching you about your diabetes as well. And then hopefully you take action to look after your diabetes and to look after your feet. On this show today, we're going to be talking a little bit about, well, what we've had in the last couple of weeks in the UK here. A lot of heat. We're going to be talking about heat in your feet. And there's a couple of aspects of that we're going to be looking at. I hope you enjoy the show today and that you are able to really glean some useful nuggets of information from it. Please do get in contact with us if you've got any burning desires, and there's no pun on the word burning there, but burning desires for to hear topics on this show. If there's something you want us to talk about, somebody you want us to interview, maybe it's just you want a different type of music on the show, who knows? Please do get in touch with us and let us know what we can do to best provide the ultimate show for you. Okay, it's that time in the show where we take a short break to listen to an advert or two from our station sponsors. Please listen in, and then we will be back to the topic of today very shortly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
That was a couple of adverts from our station sponsors. You're listening to UK Health Radio and the Diabetes Show. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Let's get back to our topic of the week. Moving on now, we're going to have a song before we get into our topic for this week. I'm going to play a song which it may give you a bit of a hint as to what we are going to be talking about. Going to start off with one of my favorite artists, as I'm sure you know by now. It's Bruce Springsteen, and the song is called I'm on Fire. I hope you enjoy it as much as I'm going to.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. Oh, 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 I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? And can he do to you the things that I do? Oh, no. I can take you high. It's like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire. Oh, I'm on fire.
That was Bruce Springsteen and I'm on Fire, one of my favourite artists, one of my favourite songs from back in the 80s when I was doing all my studying, when I was doing my A-levels, when I was doing my podiatry diploma, mine was, because it was before the days it became a degree, way back then, 34, 35 years ago, I would have been studying that and I would have been listening to Brucey. Anyway,
I'm still listening to him, still enjoying his music, making you listen to it as well, and hopefully enjoying it. Anyway, we are going to be talking this week about heat in your feet. So summer's here, and hopefully we will get some heat again. It wasn't long ago that I was actually talking to you about the effect of cold and how the blood vessels within them, especially the small ones, constrict in an attempt to lose less heat from the extremities and therefore conserving your core temperature and protecting the vital organs. Well, now, as the temperature is warmer, it's the turn of the feet to play a regulatory role. Did I get that right? Regulatory role in cooling you down. Now, obviously, the ambient temperature increases as the summer comes, and the body's temperature, including that of the feet, will usually increase as well, often causing your body to respond by, well, we all know it, don't we? Sweaty feet, making us sweat generally over our body. And the reason for that is it's an attempt to cool them down. Usually, this happens normally, and occasionally, in some people, you can actually have excessive sweating. And we'll talk about that at some point in the future as well. This month, I really want to address two aspects of hot feet, other than the sweating, okay? We'll talk about sweaty feet, smelly feet, stinky feet another time. What I want to do is to break it down into two different aspects. The first one is truly hot feet, okay, where the feet actually are hot, and then feet that you might feel are hot, but actually they're not. And those are two very, very different things, two very different problems that can affect you. Some of you will be thinking, yes, I know what you mean. I've burnt my foot. I dropped some barbecue fat on it when I was cooking the barbecue the other day. It splattered all over my foot. It was hot. Others of you will be thinking, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wow, yes, when I'm in bed, my feet feel like they're burning. And yet they may not actually feel hot. There's numerous causes to the sensation of heat, and that can be with or without an increase in the temperature of the tissues of the skin and of the tissues below. And I could just go through a whole list of all the different things, and the danger is that this show could become a bit of a shopping list. And actually, to be honest, every foot health show could become a bit of a shopping list, because there's so many things that can go wrong with your feet. That's why I am a podiatrist that's passionate about educating you on the health of your feet, because there is so much complexity about them, and there's so much that can go wrong with them, and there's so much that they can cause problems with elsewhere in your body as well. So, as I say, at the moment we're just looking at this aspect of heat, either you feeling hot or the actual tissues being hot. Of course, if you've got diabetes, as usual, and I know I'm probably, you know, you groan every time you hear me saying this, but if you have got diabetes, then I'm afraid you need to pay extra special attention. Okay, remember, learning what can go wrong is really an important part of you being in the diabetes sweet spot. It's an integral part of how I believe you can keep yourself in the safest possible zone, making sure you look after yourself with your diabetes, but looking after your feet as well, making sure that you are able to keep doing the things you want to do with your feet for the rest of your life. So whether you've got diabetes or not, the rest of this show, I think, will help you to understand that, hey, there's something going on, I need to get it checked out. You'll be a bit more aware of your own personal risk, and you'll realize that actually, you know what, it's much better to know that something's going on rather than being ignorant of any danger that might be going on in your feet. And I hope that it's going to prompt you to take action. Okay, it's all very well me giving you a load of information about how feet can get hot or how they may feel hot when they aren't actually hot. It's another whole kettle of fish you being aware of your own personal risk regarding it. And then it's a totally different tank of fish for you to actually start doing something about it, trying to treat it, trying to address whatever the problem might be. So let's begin with some of the causes of actual, real, increased temperatures in the feet. And then later on, we will have a look at a little bit of some of the more vague feelings of heat when there may not be an increase. Okay. So an actual increase in heat will usually be accompanied by some other symptoms as well, such as redness and swelling. Sometimes you might get some numbness and paresthesia, which is pins and needles. But that often occurs also when there isn't a raised temperature. Before we go into details, we're going to have another breakout for a song, and it's another of my favourite artists from when I was growing up, I guess. I think I might still be growing up, I don't know. Anyway, it's Billy Idol, and it is Hot in the City. You're going to jive to this one, I can guarantee it.
It's hot in the night, lonely black and white on a hot summer night. Don't be afraid of the world we may hate on a hot summer night. Cause when a lonely and lovely walks by, yeah, you can see her look in her eye. Forget your young on a hot summer night. Sometimes someone you're not pull away to see what you got.
That was Billy Idol and Hot in the City. I'm sure you have been singing along to that, or you've been tapping your feet to it. I was finding myself singing along to it, and I had to catch myself before coming back on air, because I have promised you, I think in the past, that I won't sing on air again. But it's definitely one of those songs that was tempting me. So if you joined us during that song, you're listening to The Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, and we're talking about heat in your feet. And we've already identified that there are two different aspects of that. There is the real increased temperature where you're feeling real heat in your feet. And then there's another thing where, and that's where your feet are actually hot or burned. And then there's another situation where you are feeling heat in your feet, but actually there's no raised temperature there. It's just this feeling of heat that's there. First of all, right now we're going to look into potential causes of actual temperature rises in the tissues of your feet. And first one we're going to look at is infection. So foot infections can broadly be classified into three categories, and they are, of course, viral, fungal, and bacterial. So viral infections, we're all aware of viral issues at the moment, and in actual fact, COVID does affect or can affect the feet. You can get things called COVID toes, which actually, conversely to what we're talking about right now, look like chilblains, actually. They look, the feet look like they've got chilling in the toes. But another virus which often affects the feet, and that is verrucas. And they generally won't cause much of an increase. Occasionally you can get some inflammation around them, but generally the body doesn't really even seem to know that they're there. That's why they're so stubborn and difficult to get rid of. So we're not going to say verrucas are likely to cause an increase in temperature there. Funguses, such as those causing athlete's foot, again, they don't normally have an increased temperature per se, but they can leave the skin more prone to secondary bacterial infections. And these are the ones that usually cause or can cause an increased local temperature. So bacterial infections, they're the third type, okay? And they're one of the most dangerous things that can happen, particularly if you've got diabetes. But even if you haven't got diabetes, infections in the feet can be pretty nasty. It's just that if you've got the diabetes, you're much less able to fight it. If you suspect that you have got a bacterial infection, then you should go and see your podiatrist, or either go to urgent care or accident and emergency or your GP, because it may well be that you need to get some antibiotics very, very quickly. A small localized infection in the foot in a person with diabetes can escalate into a foot or limb or even a life-threatening condition in just a matter of a few days. So please make a note of that. If you have diabetes, make a note of it if you've got a loved one with diabetes, okay? Especially if you know your loved one can't see their feet properly, or you know, maybe they can't see their see full stop, because diabetes affects the eyes as well. Maybe they can't reach their feet. Then, you know, if you live with someone in that situation, it really should be that you're looking to become their eyes, become their nurse, if you like, their podiatrist, if you like, and check their feet on a regular basis. One of the key things about a bacterial infection in the foot is that it's quite likely to increase the temperature of the wound, of the area. So it's not a bad idea to have some way of reading the temperature. I've been interviewing a couple of companies recently who've got devices which can help you to understand what your feet are doing, whether they're increasing in temperature. So those are both very interesting devices, and they will definitely be featuring in the UK Health Radio Awards next year. But it might even do you well just to get hold of an infrared thermometer, infrared skin thermometer. You know the things where if you're going into certain places now, you get pointed at? If you come to my clinics, we started this right way back when COVID was first sort of being announced. We decided, you know what, we've got these things in clinic anyway for checking people's temperatures of their feet. Let's check the foreheads of people coming into our clinic and make sure they haven't got a temperature. Well, those infrared skin thermometers that you can buy on Amazon, maybe I shouldn't say Amazon, I don't know, you can buy in chemists, you can buy it, yes, on Amazon, you can buy it online from suppliers. The infrared thermometer can be really, really useful, not just for checking your forehead temperature. And by the way, that's so much easier than getting a kid, for example, to stick a thermometer with mercury in the bottom of it into their mouth, which I remember having as a kid. I wish it used to be uncomfortable under the tongue, didn't it? Anyway, a temperature difference of 4 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 1.2 degrees centigrade or above, that sort of difference suggests that there's something happening in an area of skin. So if you've got on one foot a temperature, let's say, of 30 degrees, and then on the other foot in the same place you've got a temperature of 30 or 1.2 degrees or above, then that's a suggestion that there may be an issue coming in that area. It's been shown that skin is more likely to break down in that warmer area, and it's a preemptor of ulceration in that area, or possibly even of infection already being there. Of course, if you have got a temperature difference like that, How do you know whether the hot one is the abnormal one or the cold one is the abnormal one? Because there are conditions that can make you go particularly cold on one side. So you can't really tell without having a professional eye looking at it and possibly doing some other tests. But what you can do to help yourself is to get to know what your normal is for you. So if you've got that from infrared thermometer and you've checked your feet, you know, maybe once a week, and you get to know what the general likelihood is of the 2 feet. But yes, normally my left one is slightly warmer than my right one. That gives you the normal for you. And then you can make a judgment on the fact that, wow, okay, this foot is now 2 degrees warmer than this one. There must be something going on. I'm going to go and get checked out. And by doing that, you know, you're probably going to be, if you've got diabetes particularly, probably going to be literally saving your foot or your leg or even your life. So if you are going to hop online or down to the chemist and buy one of those things, don't wait to use your new toy when you suspect a problem. Get using it now so you know what's normal for you. Let's have a look at something else that can cause heat in the feet. Okay, so we've talked a little bit there about infection and ulceration increasing temperature. There is another thing, and again, I'm afraid I'm going to be talking largely to people with diabetes. But remember, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I haven't got diabetes, how sure are you that you haven't got it? Because around the world, 50% of people with diabetes don't know they've got it. I was speaking to a lady earlier on today, actually, who was booking in for an appointment with her. She hadn't been for a number of years, hadn't been for the last couple of years because of COVID, of course. But prior to that, she hadn't been for a couple of years. But she said, thank you, Peter, so much, because your tests when I came to you and you found that I'd lost some sensation, you referred me to my doctor to get some tests for diabetes, and I had no idea, but yes, I did have diabetes, and I've been on medication ever since. So she was really grateful that the tests we did routinely in clinic for people without diabetes had warned her and us that she might have it, and then she'd gone to have the tests.
Okay, it's that time in the show where we take a short break to listen to an advert or two from our station sponsors. Please listen in, and then we will be back to the topic of today very shortly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was a couple of adverts from our station sponsors. You're listening to UK Health Radio and the Diabetes Show. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Let's get back to our topic of the week.
Right, the next thing we're going to look at is Charcot joint. Okay, Charcot joint, it's another diabetes-related issue, and it can cause an increase in temperature, and it can also have a devastating effect on the feet. The condition is called a Charcot joint, but it can happen in any of the joints of the lower limb, really. So it can happen in the knee, in the ankle. The most common, though, is in the mid-tarsal bit. So if you look at the arch of the foot, it's the bones that form that arch, if you like. And what happens is, it can be absolutely devastating. The area starts to get swollen, red, hot, maybe painful, but quite often the person's got neuropathy and can't feel pain. But it gets red, hot, swollen. So if you ever see that part of your foot particularly getting like this, or any joint really, suddenly going like that, or over the course of a few days, go and get it checked out ASAP and tell them that you have got diabetes, or if you suspect you've got diabetes and you haven't been tested, get tested. It happens with people who have got sensory neuropathy, not just people with diabetes. If you've got sensory neuropathy, you can be more prone to this as well, but certainly Charcot joint is most commonly found in people with diabetes,
I guess because there's so many of us around who have got neuropathy because of diabetes. Anyway, it's an absolute time bomb waiting to go off. And what happens is that the inflammatory process that takes place in that joint or that series of joints disintegrates them. And you end up with the joints, say in the midfoot area, collapsing. And the arch gives way. And you literally end up with the arch the other way around. So instead of having an arch lifting the foot up, it becomes the opposite, convex, and you are treading on pressure points then with jagged bits of bone that have disintegrated within the foot, which are trying to get out. So it's a bit like sharp shards of glass trying to puncture their way inwards. Instead, the bone is trying to puncture its way outwards, and it can cause a wound from within. And it, as you know, with diabetes, you don't want wounds. So with a Charcot joint, it's critical that you find out as soon as possible. So if you start realizing that there is an increase in temperature, as well as the fact that it started looking swollen and red, then you would do well to go and get checked out and tell the person, because a lot of people can miss it. A lot of my son-in-law's mother, whatever relationship that is, she developed it, and I actually diagnosed it over the phone, and she had been to someone who had missed it. So it is very, very easy to miss. But if you've got that infrared thermometer and you've got a hot foot and you've got diabetes, go and get checked out. Tell the nurse or the doctor or the podiatrist, whoever it might be you're going to see, tell them you have got diabetes and you're concerned you might have this Charcot joint. We will do a whole show on this at some point in the future, and I'm hoping to have my son-in-law's mum on as well, and she can talk to us about it. She was able to catch hers in time, thankfully. So you're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, and we've been talking today so far about heat in your feet, and it can be heat where your feet are actually hot, the tissues are actually hot, or it can be that your feet are just feeling hot and they may not actually be increased in temperature. We're going to have a look at some other causes of actual hot feet. And I mean, it's going to be a bit of a shopping list, this one, I'm afraid. I did say earlier on it might develop into that. But we've got a lot to get through, and I want to jump on these things because really the point of the show is that, you know, it's important to give you some knowledge and give you some education, but it's also to prompt you to action. And what I want more than anything is for you to actually get your feet checked out. If you've got a podiatrist near you, go and see them. If you are thinking today's show is relevant to you and as you've got a particular issue that's causing your feet to get hot or you feel heat in your feet, then go and get checked out by your local podiatrist. Or if you want to hop on a call to me, you can go to our website circlepodiatry.co.uk, and you can book online there to come into clinic. Of course, that's the absolute ideal. Or if you are in a distant land somewhere and you haven't been fed up with my voice today and you want to speak to me in person, then you can hop on a virtual consultation. You can book those online as well. If you want to just get on a call and speak and try and arrange something, that's absolutely fine too. And you can also contact me via contact@circlepodiatry.co.uk, contact@circlepodiatry.co.uk, and I'll be more than happy to advise you on how to take things further. Okay, other causes of actual hot feet. First of all, inflammatory conditions. So there's things like tendinitis, plantar fasciitis, which isn't always hot. Sometimes it isn't an inflammation. It can be plantar fasciopathy, but that's heel pain. But quite often it can be hot. Any structure that's been inflamed will, as part of that inflammatory process, become warmer. And it's one of the tests I often do using my infrared thermometer is to see if the injured part of the foot is hotter than the corresponding foot. That's why we've got 2 feet, so we can compare and contrast the two and see if there's a problem. And with over 100 tendons, ligaments and muscles in the foot, you can imagine sometimes it's hard to isolate the affected structure when you are testing. But with a little pinpoint infrared thermometer, it can be helpful. Gout. What about gout? If any of you have had gout, you'll know how uncomfortable it is. And generally speaking, the joint will become very red, hot and swollen, as well as being extremely painful. Of course, again, remember with diabetes, if you've got a bit of neuropathy, you may not feel that pain. But gout is classically very painful to the point that you can't put your foot on the ground. You have to have blood tests, and then some medication and dietary advice will normally control it pretty well. athlete's foot, we mentioned fungal infections earlier on, doesn't normally increase the temperature, but it's possible that it can increase because of a secondary bacterial infection. Verrucchia, again, they can get secondary bacterial infections in them. Or also some treatments also can cause inflammation in the area. Neurological issues. Well, these can be local to the area feeling hot or caused by more central issues higher up in the nerves. Nerves can give strange sensations when they're subjected to different types of trauma. So you can even get sciatica, which can lead to weird feelings in your feet, and that can include temperature. So either from physical pressure on the nerves or chemical interactions, for example, with hormones changes, with chemo, toxins, and drugs, both recreational as well as prescribed. And also the nerves can be affected by certain illnesses as well. So there's a whole range of things that can affect the nerves, which can lead to sensations of heat. So let's talk a little bit about nerves here, trauma to the nerves. So localized trauma is usually associated with abnormal pressure on the nerve, and that could be because of the way that the foot is structured, for example, the way it's functioning because of that structure. There's a situation, a condition called tarsal tunnel syndrome, where this is the inside of the ankle, behind the ankle bone, and into the sole of the foot. You could have a Morton's neuroma. This is in the forefoot, where there's a nerve bundle that becomes inflamed and enlarged, and causes pain, particularly in tight shoes. There's Baxter's nerve entrapment, which is pain radiating from the vicinity of the back of the arch where it meets the heel. And even in a virtual appointment, a podiatrist will probably be able to talk you through some self-tests that you can do and help you to diagnose which of these problems you might have, or give you some guidance on what you might be able to do to help out, or at least be able to advise you if you need to get another opinion from somebody where they've actually physically got hold of your feet. But it's not just the foot structure that can cause the weird function and pressure on nerves. Also, swollen feet and legs, which can be caused by lots of different issues, that swelling itself can put pressure on the nerves, triggering or enhancing a symptom of heat or of pins and needles or strange sensations in the feet. Likewise, poor fitting shoes, shoes that are too worn down and making you walk at an angle, tight hosiery, that means socks or tights or whatever. They can either be too tight or indeed sometimes too loose can cause pressure or friction as well. Even a previously comfortable shoe can become so worn that it alters the way that your foot's working and supported, and that can trigger a problem. So I'm hopefully giving you some food for thought here, and that's what your podiatrist will do as well. They'll be able to go through the whole of your individual personal history and then tailor their talk and their treatment relevant to you. I'm just blurting out all the different things that I can think of that might be causing a sensation of heat or might be causing actual heat in your feet. Sometimes, as I said earlier, the issue could be higher up with something like sciatica. It can give some symptoms in the feet. What about substance effects? We've talked about substance effects briefly earlier on. Substances can have an effect as well, and those could be substances that are very normal. So you could have your hormones in your body, hypothyroidism, where there's not enough thyroxine being produced, pregnancy and menopause, they all alter hormones, and hormones in different amounts in your body to what they may be meant to be can lead to strange sensations, including this heat. Alcohol misuse, neuropathy. So if you have too much alcohol, if you're an alcoholic, very often it will lead to strange sensations in your feet and neuropathy. Recreational drugs and prescription drugs, as I mentioned earlier, can cause a problem. Deficiencies of vitamin B, vitamin B12, B6, and the folates, all of them, that can lead to strange sensations. Poisons. Is there somebody trying to poison you? Are you eating some sort of source of poison? Arsenic, lead, mercury, insect bites, of course, spider bites, snake bites, you know, creatures that have got venom, that can lead to, it can lead to some more important things, but also it can lead to strange sensations. Obviously, if there's not enough of it to kill you, it might be giving you some strange sensations. Contact with allergens, so contact dermatitis. You might put a pair of shoes on, there might be something in the leather, in the dye for the leather, that causes a contact dermatitis. That's likely to be hot as well. I suppose while we're talking about you know, shoes and hosiery and contact with things causing dermatitis, when you've got your feet in occlusive footwear, socks which aren't allowing your feet to breathe, lots of man-made fibres won't allow this very well. That obviously can increase the actual heat within your feet and make them sweat more, and it can also increase the feeling of heat as well. So as this list goes on, there's a whole load more. I'm just going to whiz really quickly through them, okay? Just some of the things that can cause heat sensations in your feet. So rheumatoid arthritis, complex regional pain syndrome, Charcot-Marie tooth disease, Guillain-Barre syndrome, erythromelalgia, kidney failure, vasculitis, sarcoiditis, amyloidosis, HIV, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, Gitelman syndrome, Leishmaniasis, chronic mountain sickness. Now that's not an exhaustive list, but there's quite a few there. And then there's cases as well which are idiopathic, so who knows what causes it. That's basically what idiopathic means. It means we don't know what caused it, but you've got the sensations. And then there's those that are, of course, put down to being psychosomatic. And then, of course, there's a combination of all the things we've talked about, some of those, and having psychosomatic symptoms on top of it. Hopefully, the purpose of my show today is to help you to realize that feet are complex and that there are so many things that can cause you to feel heat in your feet. Some of them can be really important ones and some of them lesser so. And sometimes it can be more than one factor contributing to the severity of the symptoms. And it may be that just addressing one factor might reduce them to allow them to become more tolerable. My real advice to you is that if you've been struck by anything I've shared today, is go and get checked out or contact us and get me to check you out. Get checked out by a podiatrist, a foot specialist, and they're going to help you to understand more about your feet, understand what could be going wrong there. They'll refer you to a GP or to a hospital if they feel that there is a need for that, for further tests. But quite often, the podiatrists themselves will have a very good idea of what is going on. It's particularly important to get help if you feel that there's a sudden onset of symptoms, of hot and burning sensations, if you've had a known exposure to toxins, if the sensation's spreading from the feet and up the legs, and if you've got loss of sensation or numbness in your feet. And remember, of course, if you have got diabetes, you may not have feeling in your feet. You may not feel that your feet are hot, and they could be. That's something that really needs to be a wake-up call for you if you aren't aware. Get checked out. Know your risk. Know if you've got neuropathy. Know if you're unlikely to feel that increased heat, because increased heat is such a warning sign of something that's going wrong or about to go wrong in your feet if you have diabetes. So that is pretty much it for this show. Thank you so much for bearing with me with the monotony of just my voice. I'm going to play one final song now. And this song it's a great song. I love the song. It always makes me a bit somber when I listen to it. And the title actually is the opposite of the message that I want to get across from this. And it's by the band REM. And the song is called Everybody Hurts. But when it comes to your feet, as I think you've got the message today, with diabetes, not everybody actually does feel that pain. You don't always hurt. And the problem is, if you don't hurt on your feet, if you don't feel that pain on your feet, you might actually be hurting the tissues really painlessly, but hurting them. And that could lead to severe problems, which will certainly hurt your well-being. So please enjoy the song, but make sure that this show is really a wake-up call for you. REM and Everybody Hurts. And by the way, have a fantastic week, and tune in again next week to the Foot Health Show, and if you've got time, to the Diabetes Show. Have a blessed week. Life.
let yourself go. As everybody cries, everybody hurts sometimes. Sometimes everything is wrong. Time to sing along when your day is night. Oh, hold on, hold on. You feel like letting go. If you think you've had too much of this life, well, hang on. Everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends. Everybody hurts. Don't throw your hand.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless you.